How's everybody doing this morning? Cool. One of the things that I say a lot, which you don't know this yet because I haven't been here a lot. I haven't been here that long. But is this, I don't believe anybody's here by accident. I believe you're here because God wanted you here. And if God wanted you here, he's got something for you in your life. And I say that for this reason, because I met at least a couple of families this morning that I didn't know, one that's new to our church, and I just want you to know, I believe you're not here by accident. Yeah, somebody may have invited you, and maybe you came because you were forced, I don't know. But I believe God's got something for you today. My prayer is that you'll find it, and it will make a difference in how you live when you leave this place. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all you do, God. God, we just love you and praise you for all you are doing in our life, but also in the life of this church. God, right now, as we come to this time where we open your word, Lord, I pray that you will speak into us today. God, I pray that these words will not be mine. I pray that they'll be yours. Because they're yours, they will be powerful. God, I pray for people to come at our reflection time, at the commitment time. God, I pray, and I pray with an expectancy because, God, I'm excited when people come to just say, hey, I just need to get some things right. So, Father, we just give this day to you. It's in your holy and blessed name that we pray. Amen. Story is told of a mother and a daughter who Sunday afternoon after church boarded a plane to go see the little girl's grandparents. And after they boarded the plane, the mom was sitting in the aisle and the little girl was sitting in the middle seat. And then there was some kind of a business type guy, you know, fairly well dressed, that was sitting in the window seat. After they got up in the air and they were cruising at their altitude, all of a sudden, the little girl reached down and her mom gave her a book to read, and it was the story of Jonah and the whale. And so she was flipping through it and kind of reading the story, and the businessman just kind of looked over and said, so what are you reading? She said, well, I'm reading the story of Jonah and the whale. And in fact, we talked about that in Sunday school today. He said, now you don't actually believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and then lived, do you? And she goes, well, yeah, I believe it because that's what the Bible says. And I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale. He says, surely you don't really believe that. Now, how can you prove that? How can you prove that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? So she thought a minute and she said, well, I guess that when I get to heaven, then I'll ask Jonah if it was true or not. And then Jonah will tell me. And so the guy, thinking he was a little smarter than the little girl, said, yeah, but you know Jonah disobeyed God, and Jonah ran from God. So what if Jonah's not in heaven? The little girl thought for a moment. She said, well, then you can ask him. Yeah, I always liked that one. Kind of appropriate today, too, with our kids being in here. John's got a severe ear infection, came down with it yesterday, and so we kind of punted, which is actually kind of appropriate for Super Bowl Sunday. You know, we just punted. So if you're visiting with us, we're going through the book of Jonah. And so you can open your Bibles up to Jonah. We're going to actually look at verse 17 in chapter 1 and then through chapter 2. So we'll get to that in a moment. But when we last left Jonah, the sailors had just thrown Jonah overboard. And the craziest thing happened. I mean, it was a miracle that happened. As soon as Jonah hit the water, began to sink, the storm ceased, and the sea became like glass. I mean, think about it. They're in the storm of the century, and like that, it's over. And the sea's calm. And as far as the sailors were concerned, they just threw Jonah to his death. And as far as Jonah was concerned, he was going to die. But here's the crazy thing. up to this point, and if you remember what we've talked about so far, up to this point, Jonah hadn't prayed yet. He hadn't prayed. You see, I don't believe that he was expecting God to rescue him. I really think that he saw this as a way to save the sailors and to not save the people in Nineveh. And so Jonah was just thinking, I'm going to die, and that's it. So as we begin today, I want us to stand together. I want us to do something different today. I want us to stand together, and we're going to read this section of Scripture together, and we'll begin where we left off in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and go through chapter 2, verse 10. Are you ready, church? Okay. I think I'll read it from here because I can't see that, and this is a little close. So here we go, church. Now let's begin. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. May God add his blessing on the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let me ask you, has anybody in here ever come close to drowning? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Well, you raised your hand. Well, that's good. But you don't have to. But think about it. Have you ever come close to drowning? I mean, maybe you're out on a rough river or stream, and you're canoeing, you fall in or whatever, or maybe you're at the ocean and the waves all of a sudden just come and knock you down, and then as soon as you come up, they hit you again, and the undertow begins to take you out, and you just sense and feel that you are going to drown. Or maybe this has happened to you, because this happened to me when I was a youth pastor in Wichita, Kansas, back in the mid-80s. Some of you don't know what the 80s were. You didn't miss much. But when I was a youth pastor back in Wichita, we would take, every summer we would go to Christ in Youth CIY conference in Colorado. We'd always go out several days ahead of time and do something crazy, do something fun. And one year we went whitewater rafting just outside Buena Vista in Browns Canyon on the Colorado River. We went with a company called, it's kind of appropriate for a church group, but Noah's Ark, Noah's Ark Rafting Company, I think is what it was called. And that particular year, because of the weather, the rapids were really rough, a little bit more than normal. And so the guide told us as we got into the raft, he said, now, above everything, hang on to the sides. You just got to hang on at all times because anything can happen. And if you fall in, one thing you've got to remember is those of you that are still in the boat, do not try to save the person that fell in. Because if they get trapped under the raft, they're gone. And then they said, if you're the one that fell in, this is what you do. And he told us what you do. Of course, you have your life jacket on, but you have to kind of sit back with your feet out in front of you, and literally you just have to ride the waves. Now, there's an area in most rafting trips like this one that's called there, it was called Zoomflume. And the Zoomflume was that place where they had people stationed that took pictures because they wanted to sell them to you when the rafting trip was over, right? So the Zoomflume was extremely dangerous, especially this year. And it was very long, very fast, lots of rapids. I mean, it looked pretty much like that. And we went in at an angle. I'm sitting on the back right side. We go in at an angle, and then when it flips back, it flips me out. Now, I'm freaking out. Lucy's freaking out. Our kids are freaking out. And there's nothing that nobody can do. I literally have to ride the rapids all the way to where it calms down. And I want you to know that every second of that, I said to myself, I'm going to die. And I'm going to drown. And this is it. And when I made it finally down, there were people that came out and got me and picked me up. I couldn't hardly walk because my legs looked like meat. I mean, the rocks just beat the flesh off my legs. I was bleeding. I was bruised. And I want you to know, I thought I was going to die. I was going to drown. Now, that's exactly, I think, the place Jonah was, except he didn't just think he was going to drown. In his mind, he knew he was. You see, the seaweed had wrapped itself around his legs and around his head, and it was just pulling him further and further and further into the depths of the sea. And then to make matters worse, all of a sudden he sees a giant fish coming toward him with its mouth open, and he gets sucked in, and everything goes black, and he realizes he's been swallowed alive. And that's where Jonah found himself. And at this point, he's not quite sure whether God is saving him or whether God is just taking him out, right? Now, here's the amazing thing that Jonah's about to discover. It may be a little unconventional, but this giant fish was actually a messenger of God's mercy and God's grace that was sent to save him. I want you to know, Taylor, I love the songs that we sang today. And as we go through this message, I think you will begin to see how those themes tie together of grace and mercy and God's sacrifice through his son. And this fish was actually that messenger from God of his mercy and grace that was sent to save Noah. Now let me pause here for a moment because there's something we need to kind of understand. Those of you that, well, most of us have probably have heard over the years of people who, especially of pastors who have just kind of fallen off the deep end. They have kind of just all of a sudden just went by the wayside in some ways. I had a friend of mine who was an extremely gifted pastor. I mean, he was just a great guy. He was an amazing speaker, amazing pastor. He loved people. He was building a great church. And then all of a sudden, sin got in his life. And all of a sudden, he wasn't the same. And he ended up losing both his church and he almost lost his family. My son and I were talking about this later because it was during a time where I also had another friend that was going through the exact same thing, and we're kind of saying, why is this happening? I mean, what's going on? And my son Kyle had just listened to, I forget who it was, but it was a podcast of somebody he really likes, and they made this statement, this principle that I believe fits both Jonah but also fits us, and it's this. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. At some point, character always trumps giftedness. I want you to think about that for a moment. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. I mean, you can be the greatest pastor, the greatest preacher. You can be the greatest singer, the greatest musician. I mean, you can be a great Sunday school teacher. You can come to church every time the doors are open, and you can give until you don't have anything else to give. But at some point, character always trumps your giftedness. At some point, sin comes in and destroys what you've worked really hard to be and then to do. Character always trumps giftedness. And sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes we don't understand that. And so I say this for this reason, because it doesn't matter what you are in here. What matters is what you are when you leave this place. Because that's where your character is really shown. So if you're an elder or a deacon in this church, what does your character say about you after you leave these doors? What does the community say about you? Would they say, how did he ever get to be in that position? Because I know him or her. You see, character always trumps giftedness. And even though Jonah was a gifted prophet of God, his character showed who he really was. He was a disobedient sinner who deserved death, but instead received forgiveness, mercy, and grace. That's the good news. The same mercy and grace that God wanted to offer the people of Nineveh. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me hope that when my character comes into question, I've got a God who's there to forgive and to show me how I can come back. And that's what he did. That's what he did with Jonah. Here's the cool thing. In spite of what you've done or who you've become, God will never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. So what does your character say about you? In fact, he will do all he can to deliver you and bring you home every time. Now, a word about this fish. Because really, I mentioned this when I first started. I said, when you guys heard us preaching on Jonah, how many of you went to the fish? A lot of you raised your hand. Yeah, I went to the fish. I mean, that's just what we do, right? We go to the fish. Well, just a word about this great fish. The scripture says that exact thing. It was a great fish. What kind of fish it was, I have no clue. Could have been a dogfish, which is part of the shark family. It may have been a sperm whale. I don't know. It could have been a largemouth bass on steroids. You know, it could have been Jaws. Who knows? I don't know what it was. It just says that it was a great fish. Now, skeptics have a hard time swallowing swallowing the story of Jonah because they say it couldn't happen. But the truth is, it can happen. An average sperm whale can have a mouth 20 feet long, 15 feet high, and 9 feet wide. And as to whether a man could survive in a whale's stomach, I did some research, and I came across a story about a guy by the name of James Bartley, who was the central figure in a late 19th century account in which it was said that he was swallowed whole by a sperm whale. They had been out fishing off the Falkland Islands, whaling off the Falkland Islands, and they had spotted this sperm whale. They sent a smaller boat out, and the whale hit the boat, and they went everywhere. The whale was eventually killed, but so were some of the men. James Bartley was the only one they hadn't found and didn't find for a while. They found him after 36 hours when they had the whale on stomach on the boat, and they opened it up, and they found James Bartley alive in the whale. He bore the scars because his body was bleached, his hair was bleached. There were parts of his body that were burnt by the acids in the stomach. But he was alive. Now, I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, if God said that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, then a great fish swallowed Jonah. And we do not need a scientist to measure the gullet of that great fish to prove it. Kind of the bottom line, right? It's just the bottom line. Here's the thing. If you can't accept the miracle of Jonah and the great fish, then there are a lot of other miracles in the Bible that are going to give you some trouble. Okay? If you can't accept what the Word of God says about Jonah, then there's a lot of other miracles that you're going to have trouble with. So, as we think about this section of Scripture, chapter 2, I want to give you five key principles quickly that I believe Jonah learned that we need to learn as well. And the first one is this. Sometimes troubles and hardships or a crisis experience, it's exactly what we need to bring us back to our knees in prayer. Sometimes it's these crisis moments, these storms that we go through, they're just what we need to bring us to that point where we fall to our knees and we turn to our God. Now, here's what the Spirit kept reminding me of, and it's this. When Jonah ran, it didn't bother him that he was separated from God. I mean, when Jonah got the news from God that God wanted him to go to Nineveh, Jonah immediately went to Joppa, got on a boat, and headed for Tarshish. And it didn't bother him that he was separated himself from God. In fact, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to flee the presence of God. And that didn't bother him. But now, after passing by the tonsils, if they have tonsils, of this great fish and facing the real possibility of death, guess what? Now he doesn't want to be separated from God, does he? And let me tell you, the same is true for us. I've been in full-time ministry for 45 years, and I can tell you person after person after person, excuse me, who lived their life like they wanted to be separated from God. They lived their life for them. It was all about them. And they really didn't want God to play any part in their life. But when cancer hit, or a death hit, or a loss of job hit, all of a sudden, the God they left was the God they wanted. That's just kind of part of our human nature, I think, that's built inside of us. Because the reality is, we honestly know, if we're honest with ourselves, that we shouldn't be separated from God. That's not a good thing. And so as death swept over him, Jonah finally prays. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 again. It said, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He had nowhere to go. He was totally exhausted. And he was at the end of his rope. So the only thing left to do was to pray. I like what R.T. Kendall said. He said, the belly of the fish is not a happy place to live, but it is a good place to learn. It's true, isn't it? And Jonah was learning a big lesson. Abraham Lincoln once said, he said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Ever been there? Where you finally got to the place where you realized there's nowhere else to go. I've tried everything. There's just nowhere else to go. And so maybe I just need to go to him. Here's the thing. Jonah's a prophet of God. Prayer should have been his first thought, not his last. So let me ask you this. Is prayer a natural part of your relationship with your God? Is it? I mean, is prayer a natural part of your relationship? And I'm not talking about praying before you eat or just praying for this or that. I'm talking about, is prayer a natural part of your life where you find yourself, even while you're driving with your eyes open, hopefully, praying to God, just talking with him like he's sitting right next to you, right beside you, because you have that kind of a relationship with him that you just want to commune with him as much as you can. Because you understand that you can't do life apart from him. What part does prayer play in your life? I'm thankful that on Thursdays at 2 o'clock, we have a group especially of women. I think there's sometimes some guys that come that Gail leads that are here to pray. And they pray for an hour. And one of the last things they do is they pray over this place. They pray over these seats. And they pray at this altar. I'd encourage you, if you're not doing anything at 2, you need to be a part of that. We're getting, her and I, and I'm going to go over to her and Doug's house tomorrow night. Still on, right? Good. For supper. Just want to make sure. For supper. And we're going to talk about how we can incorporate more prayer. More prayer. The second principle is this. God can hear our prayers from anywhere. God can hear our prayers from anywhere. Look at verse 2 again. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. Now, the words cried out in the Hebrew literally means to utter a loud sound. Now, let me tell you, if that's me, believe me, I would be screaming at the top of my lungs to God. It would be a loud sound. Now, there's a lot we can learn from Jonah's prayer, but I believe that one of the most important lessons is this. No matter how far you stray from God, no matter what sin is pulling you under or has you swallowed whole, God is still there in the midst of the storm, and he still hears and he still answers your prayer. There is no place you will find yourself that God will not hear you. No place. So don't make an excuse and say, God's just not going to listen. He's not going to hear me. I've just gotten too far down. I've gotten too involved or whatever. Because God hears you and he answers from anywhere. From anywhere. Principle 3, when you don't know what to pray, I love this, just pray the word of God. I mean, when you don't know what to pray, just pray the word of God. And the reality is, a lot of the storms and crisis and adversity and problems that we find ourselves in, honestly, we don't know what to say. We don't have those words. And so when that's you, just pray the word of God. Now, you may not realize it or not, but everything that Jonah prays has reference in the Psalms. Everything that Jonah prays in this prayer has reference in the Psalms. Jonah comes after the time of the Psalms. He knew the Psalms. Listen, Psalm 18, verses 4 through 6. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. That's Psalm 18. Look at Psalm 42:7. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Again, the reason that Jonah prays the Psalms is because Jonah knew the Psalms. The Psalms were the prayer book of the people of Israel. Jonah would have prayed and sang the Psalms from an early age, and so he knew them. And let me tell you, when you are in the belly of a giant fish, you don't have much mental energy to make up your own prayer. So you go with what you know. Jonah knew the Psalms. How about you? What do you know? I mean, what part of God's word are you able to pray in those crisis moments of life? What part of the word of God have you placed in your heart so it becomes a part of you? So when you struggle, when you're going through those storms, when you're going through those tough times, you can recall it and you can pray it. I like what Athanasius once said. He said, most of scriptures speak to us, but the Psalms speak for us. I love that. Here's something that we can't forget. There's nothing more powerful in our lives than praying the promises of God's word. That's one of the things that the ladies do on Thursday. In fact, Gail last week gave me a list of scriptures that they actually just pray those scriptures. There's nothing more important than praying God's word. So here's what I want you to do. When you are lonely, just pray this. Lord, you have said in your word that you would never leave me or forsake me, and I just want to claim that promise. When you're afraid, just pray, Lord, you have assured me that because of your presence in my life, I don't have to be afraid of anymore. And I don't have to be afraid of anything. Or when you're in need, just simply pray, Lord, you have said that you would meet all my needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Or when you need forgiveness, just pray, Lord, you have said that if I would confess my sins, you would be faithful and just and would forgive all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You see, like Jonah, whatever crisis is thrown your way, whatever storm just happens to blow into your life, God has a promise in his word that you can claim. A promise that you can stand on. Principle 4, God answers, but not always in the way we think. God answers, but not always in the way we think. Look at verse 10. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Now, we don't know for sure where he was spit out. It's really puked out, but he was spit out. The Bible doesn't necessarily say but where he may have been spit out at, but a lot of scholars believe that it was probably near Joppa. Now, if you remember, Joppa was the place that he got on the boat and he sailed from. And if that was the case, then it meant Jonah ended right back where he started. You see, when you disobey God and you find yourself running, you find yourself getting nowhere. But remember this, no matter how far you get from God, no matter how much you mess up, there's always a way back. But the way back may not be what you think it would be. I mean, after all, Jonah left on a ship, but he returned in the belly of a great fish, only to be puked up on the beach. He left with his body in good shape. He returned bearing the scars of his disobedience. Now, you may be asking, what do you mean by he was bearing the scars of his disobedience? Well, do you remember I told you about the story of James Bartley? And when they found him, his body was bleached because of the acids. He had burns on him. His hair was bleached. I imagine Jonah was the same way. I imagine being 3 days in the belly of a great fish, he looked pretty bad. And he bore the scars for his disobedience. Now, let's make this a little more practical, because if some of you were honest today, you would have to tell me that you still bear the scars of your disobedience and your sin from God. Scars aren't always physical. A lot of those scars can be emotional. But some of you may still be bearing the scars. It's not that you weren't forgiven, because God can still forgive. He forgave Jonah. But we still bear the scars of our running and our disobedience and our sin. There's one more thing that the Spirit kept bringing to my attention, and it's this. Principle number 5, God provided even before Jonah prayed. I love this. I mean, think about that. God provided even before Jonah prayed. I mean, that's amazing to me. God had already provided a way for him to be saved. Look at verse 17 again in chapter 1. It said, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah hadn't prayed yet. And so before Jonah ever prayed, God still had provided a way for him to be saved. God is always working upstream. You'll hear that a lot from me. God is always working upstream to provide just what we need before we even know we need it. The truth is, man, the older I get, the more of my life is out of my control. I mean, I can't tell you what's necessarily going to happen a week from now or a year from now or 5 years from now, but my God already knows. I don't know what position I'm going to find myself in, but God already knows. And God is already working upstream to provide a path for me to go in, a path that he wants to lead me in. It is still my choice to choose that path, but he is always providing a path for us to go. I love this quote. I just came across this week. It's from the great theologian Toby Mack. I like it. He said, God didn't remove the Red Sea from the people of Israel. He parted it. Think about that. God didn't remove the Red Sea from the people of Israel. He parted it. In other words, the people of Israel didn't get to the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming behind them, and all of a sudden God just made the sea disappear. God didn't do that. The sea was still there. What'd God do? He parted it. What'd God do? He provided a way through it. In other words, sometimes God doesn't remove your problems or your storms. Instead, he just makes a way through them. He just makes a way through them. And if you will just get past your circumstances long enough to turn your focus back to God and trust him, you will discover the way he has provided for you to come back home. He's providing a way for you, even through your storm, even through your difficulty, even through the cancer, or death in the family, or the loss of a job. He's still providing a way for you if you'll just look for it. Let's reflect. In some ways, chapter 2 is in the form of a psalm for those whose lives are in the middle of a storm, those who are at the end of their rope, and those who have hit bottom and have nowhere else to turn. And the reasons why can be many, but here's the thing. When you find yourself in these situations, you've got to remember, it's never too late to pray. It's never too late to pray. In fact, that's the only thing you should do, is pray. Now, I want to give you a next step this morning, or just something to think about in reflection, something that maybe some of you are struggling with right now. It is this. I just came up with this morning, so you don't have this on your slides. Don't ever think that your sin is beyond the reach of God's grace. Do you hear me? Don't ever think that your sin is beyond the reach of the amazing grace of God. Especially when you repent and you come to him with a trusting heart. And I'll be totally honest with you today, and that is this. If you think that that's true, if you think that your sin is beyond his grace, then let me tell you, you don't understand grace. And let me tell you, you don't understand his mercy. And most importantly, you don't understand his death on the cross if you think you're beyond his grace. Jesus went to the cross to take away your sin and mine. He took the hit so we wouldn't have to. He paid the debt because we could never pay it. And he did it simply because of his grace and his mercy. He gave us what we didn't deserve, and we didn't get what we did deserve. And we have to understand that. And because of what he has done for us on the cross, we have a way back to him. So the question is, are you ready to come home? Are you ready to come home today? Some of you just may need to repent and simply trust God with your heart. Some of you may just need to surrender your life for the very first time and just give it to him and say, you know what? I just want to live for him and I want to be baptized into him. I'll be honest with you. My prayer is that we will begin to see more and more people who come to be immersed into Christ, who surrender their life and say, I want to die to self and live for him. So I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you just need prayer. And if you need prayer, I encourage you to come. And we will talk with you and try to send you back with some people to pray with you. But whatever is on your heart today, whatever decision, understand the amazing grace of God will never leave you. It's there for you. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much that we could come, and worship and hear your word. But God, it's not just about listening. It's about applying and putting it into our hearts. And so right now, God, may your spirit touch us and convict us and speak to us. God, maybe there's somebody in here who says, you know what? My character has been in jeopardy and I need to come back to God. Or whatever is on your heart today, I encourage you to come. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't we...